You're listening to the Cartoonist Podcast. Here are your hosts, Ricky Smith and Jacob Hood.
How's it going, guys? This is Jacob Hood.
And I'm Ricky Smith. And we are
the Cartoonists. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about Matt Groening's new show, Disenchantment.
All that and more in this episode of
the Cartoonists. So, Ricky.
Yeah.
I heard about this new thing. It's called Netflix. Have you heard of that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Is Blockbuster, like, no longer doing stuff now?
It's like Blockbuster, but not quite as big yet. Anyway, I saw there's this new show by a creator you might have heard of. He's done a few shows like, what's it called? The Simpsons.
Is that the Yellow People or something?
Okay, I'm going to stop being sarcastic. Okay, yeah. Yeah. I can be a sincere person, I promise.
Yeah, I know. I was about to break.
Yeah. But yeah, we're here to talk about Matt Groening's new show, Disenchantment, like I already said. And we're not going to talk about the second episode. We're just going to preview the first one because we don't want to get too into it because it does seem much more story arc centered than some of his other shows. But do you have any initial thoughts just coming off of it?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to me is the animation. I wasn't sure how well it was going to turn out for it being a Netflix series, but like, I guess with like how much time they have, and they probably had a pretty decent budget. It looks amazing. The backgrounds were just phenomenal. Like, you can see, like, I remember this one part where I made his pause video just to see, like, the door inside the chapel because, like, the wood on the door was so detailed. It looks so realistic. Like, whoever did, like, the shading on it was so awesome on that. Like, it just looks so good. Like, they just pay attention to so much detail on, like, just the smallest things. And, like, the animation itself, like, incorporating, like, 3D in there.
Right. That's what I was, going to say is that it really is, it is interesting looking at, comparing it to, say, like, The Simpsons, like I've been saying, the production quality does seem a lot higher. Mm-hmm. It also seems like what they're doing is they're trying to create an art style that is reminiscent of, like, European folklore, which, I mean, that's...
I can see that, yeah.
Obviously, that's kind of the setting, but I like that aesthetically they're trying to go with a style that is much more setting and mood heavy, I guess. That was very impressive.
Well, I remember you were taking notes earlier saying how, like, unlike some of the other shows where, like Futurama, for example, even though it's in the future, it still has, like, a lot of today's, like, ideas and things like that. Like,
right, it still feels like a sitcom that is relevant to
in this,
today.
Like, old series. Yeah. Like, I feel like with Netflix, it gives him a platform to kind of experiment with, like, some different types of styles with, like you're saying, like, longer... period of a story, I guess.
Yeah, longer story arcs.
Yeah, because like I saw the episodes like 38 minutes long, and that's usually like what a drama series is. Like, usually animated cartoons were like maybe 22 minutes tops, even for like a, you know, either 11 minutes or 22 minutes long. Like,
right.
So this one being like 40 minutes almost. If that was like on TV with commercials, it'd be an hour long TV series. So like, I think it being on Netflix, it really helps out a lot with like it being able to kind of experiment with different. Because I mean, like, think about it. I mean. That's not many like comedy series on for animation that are like an hour long. I mean, am I right? Like,
yeah, that's why I think this show works so well for Netflix is because it's something where you can sit down and binge it. Mm-hmm. Whereas a animated sitcom, it's not going to be it's not going to work in that format nearly as well. And I think that especially just because in animation, you see in episodic animation, you're seeing that a lot more.
Right.
You're seeing storylines that carry over from episode to episode rather than the more traditional. Each story is kind of self-contained and much more.
And only time like it connects if like there's a character or some kind of running joke.
Right.
From a previous episode. And that's kind of rare when that happens. Mm-hmm. One thing you were mentioning, though, is that sometimes the pacing was a bit tedious.
Yeah, that is something that I noticed, and I think it has to do with for those of you who've seen it. I guess spoiler alert. I mean, really, you only have to see the first episode that we're talking about here. But when she is she's getting married, and when she is sort of fleeing the scene, it seems like that goes on quite a long time, and there really isn't. there isn't really a lot of payoff with it. It's like, oh,
yeah,
okay, so this initial conflict happens, and it kind of drags out. I don't really know how to describe
like
that
the chase
other
and
than,
stuff. Like, the chase doesn't seem fast enough. Because like,
I think maybe the preview on Netflix kind of gave me a different idea of what the reality of it was, because it felt a lot slower than I was anticipating. I was anticipating something more high action, high drama, high stakes.
I mean, there was action, but I feel like it could have been trimmed down. Like, a few of the parts that they like ran into, I feel like that could have edited it down and like maybe made it a bit shorter. Like,
right.
If the scene was like 2 minutes long, it could have been easily like 30 seconds or maybe about a minute, I guess. But like, yeah, I don't know. I feel the same way. I didn't notice that at first, but after like, you know, it's really late looking at it and all. I would say, like, there's a few scenes in there that did have a kind of pacing issue.
Yeah, I just didn't. I felt like, especially when they get to, what was it, the washer or something?
Yeah,
like that?
I don't know.
The washmaster.
That's the thing about it. I noticed, like, a lot
What was the point of that?
It's a lot of Matt Groening shows kind of have that hit or miss jokes where, like, some jokes are, like, you know, hilarious and some of them are just like, what? And I feel like that's kind of intentional. Like, they like that kind of like style, I guess.
There are some truly funny jokes in
but
this,
like the washer joke thing is like, wait, why? Like, because they were all like the night before, they're sitting by the fire and like saying, what I'm gonna wish this, like they're talking the Wizard of Oz or whatever.
Yeah.
And like they get there and then like that seems just pointless, and then
like what new information does this add? It's not adding anything to the conflict. It's just, oh, okay, this is just gonna give another opportunity for the guy chasing her to find her again, and then you know she's gonna
just
get away.
It's just so random that they even found her, number one, because like we didn't see where they left off like the night before, because like I don't know if you remember this one part where like they show everybody like falling asleep like throughout the town and stuff, like even like the watchers, I guess you want to say, like the people were watching in the fire, they fell asleep, and like everyone else fell asleep, and they never showed the guards what they were doing, so like we don't see like how they found out where she was, so like that kind of just like, I feel like they skipped that detail, you know?
Yeah.
And, like,
I also feel like one of the reasons why the stakes weren't high with that is because, like, the first thing you establish with that character is that she's able to fend for herself. She's able to get away, and, like, that's a big part of her character. And so I just, again, I don't feel like the stakes are very high when the last part of the first episode is just a big chase scene that... Mm-hmm. Feels more like, okay, we know she's going to be fine. We know she's going to get away.
Right. Because if not, the show would be pretty much pointless.
Yeah, we're just hitting the same beat over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought, and Ricky, tell me if you noticed this too. One thing I noticed is I think that this series thinks it's doing something more original than it actually is.
Right.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is we've had so many examples of sort of the quote-unquote modern fairy tale where you have a hero who doesn't fit in with the rest of society, and the rest of society is usually represented by sort of old-fashioned traditionalist, traditional fairy tale type attitudes, I guess I'd put
right.
it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of examples. Like, obviously, Shrek is a big one. Mm-hmm. Shrek, Enchanted, Hoodwinked.
Yeah.
Even like.
Well, it's Brave. Would you say that? What
kind of? Kind yeah, sort-ish? Kind of.
Yeah. It's just basically the whole like idea of the princess wanting more. I mean, that's been around for a long time and all. And like, that's one thing I was wondering if like this series was kind of trying to be like self-aware and like kind of making fun of that trope. Because at the same time, it seems like it doesn't really know it's making fun of it. I don't know if like it's supposed to be a mix of both. Like they're trying to like straight up show that this is one of those kind of stories, but at the same time, like kind of make jokes about it. Because that's the way. Like, I mean, Simpsons in general is a satirical show. So I'm wondering if like. Yeah, this would be a satire on those kind of pieces.
It just it felt like, a little bit confused on what it wanted to be. Like, did it want to be a full on parody of fairy tales?
Well, I feel like it's one of those kind of things where as soon as you like watch more episodes and the series progresses, maybe like that becomes more clear, I guess.
That's true.
I mean,
yeah, I think I think that as the series develops, it will develop more of its own identity.
I feel like
what
a lot of these things,
I wouldn't say that it wasn't like a Disney spoof, say like what Trek was, but at the same time,
there were a few Disney spoofs though in there. You got to admit that, like the Tinkerbell scene.
Oh yeah,
she straight up looked like Tinkerbell.
maybe not the Tinkerbell thing, but I feel like Disney has made fun of itself many times, or kind of gone
Tangled.
Back and or like Frozen. Like, see, we can be progressive and make fun of our old tropes. So I don't feel like this doesn't feel that original, especially since it's not Disney. It kind of, I don't know. It's not as like blatant as something like Shrek. So I can't be too hard on it, but it did feel a little bit stale at times.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think we are being kind of hard on it because there were strengths, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I was being kind of critical on, what's her name? Bean? Princess Bean?
Yeah, Princess Bean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked, I did like certain aspects of her character. I liked that she was a little bit weird. Mm-hmm. She kind of, I kind of like the way she's designed.
Yeah.
She's not meant to look pretty. She's she's kind of funny looking.
They say she looks like SpongeBob.
She does. Yeah, she looks like SpongeBob.
Yeah.
No, I like that she's kind of weird. I also like that her two friends, the elf and the demon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about the characters for a second. Like, what do you think about the demon?
I like the way that he's flat. Like, he's a flat image that you never see him from, like, just head on.
Yeah, because, like...
He's sort of a shadow.
Yeah, during the trailer and all, I saw his character and I thought he looked really interesting because, like, he reminds me of another character I've seen. I can't think of who at the moment, but, like, yeah, I don't know. He's kind of cool. Like, he's, like, her little personal demon and kind of works with, like, her personality. She kind of, like, has, like, a, I don't know, like, you know, agreeing to get drunk right before her wedding and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she would have done that without the demon, too. So I feel like the demon actually kind of worsens her personality. Like, she kind of, like, has a whole, like, she's not trying to be a stereotypical princess or anything. So, like, I don't know. I like him on the show.
I think it's also interesting how he gets along with her. He's not, I mean, yeah, he's evil, but he's not really evil. He's a likable character.
It seems
like the truly evil people are the people who are sort of like watching over and puppeteering.
Like her dad.
Which, no, it's like the people. Evil. Yeah, I guess that's true. I was talking about the people who actually gave her the demon as like a
present.
They're the ones who I think are really kind of going to be, which I say evil, but they are sort of comic relief at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love how like the fire is like a TV, and he touched it, and he was like,
"That was funny." Yeah, that was really funny.
She's like, "It's fire," and he's like, "I know, I was there."
the elf character, he kind of reminds me of what's the elf's name on Rudolph the stop motion?
Dennis? Not, no,
he
wants to be a dentist, but I. Oh,
I was gonna say Bernard,
I'm not
but
sure.
that's the Santa Claus. What is his name?
Oh wow, the Santa Claus. Yeah. Wow, I forgot about the movie.
Okay, yeah, anyway, the dentist elf. Yeah, no, he kind of reminded me of that in a way, how
I can see that.
Everyone is super cheery and, you know, they do their job without complaining, and he decides, you know what, no, I'm not okay with this. Mm. Okay, what's that movie? Ella Enchanted? The same thing. It's another example of, like, an elf character who I'm not, you know, he says...
Wow, it's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Well, that's yet another example of sort of a progressive fairy tale, like, where... We're gonna flip all these stereotypes on their head. When every single fairy tale nowadays is flipping stereotypes on their head, it doesn't. It goes back into my criticisms of it, but I do think that there were some things that definitely worked well in this.
Mm-hmm.
I could see this as being one of those shows that the first few episodes maybe aren't as...
Yeah.
You kind of have to get into it a little bit, and
exactly,
then it picks up. Like, the pacing really picks up.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to believe that, because, I do think there's a lot of potential here. But one of the things I touched upon earlier was the art direction is very, very nice. I mean, mm-hmm. much more so than The Simpsons
mm-hmm.
or even Futurama, which is more thematically heavy. It really does feel, even if it is sort of a half-baked parody... It really does have kind of a European folklore feel to it.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But no, one thing that it reminded me of was the episode of The Simpsons. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's I'm trying to think of what it's called. It's like the
medieval.
Yeah, it's like World of Warcraft parody.
Oh wow. Yeah,
I kept getting flashes to that, which I really like that episode.
I can see that, yeah.
I don't know. I have no problem with that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I think overall it's really good. I mean, like, one thing you were mentioning earlier that I thought was really interesting as well is, like, how the character design wasn't a straight ripoff of, like,
right,
the other shows. It's been more rounded. And I feel like it's kind of a blend of both because, like, Futurama isn't exactly a copy of Simpsons. Like, art style is kind of, like, a bit tweaked.
It has to do, it's like the lack of a chin,
mm-hmm.
the overbite, and then the eyes. I think those are, the, like, that's the formula for a Simpsons type
character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that it was a little bit different. It didn't feel like a carbon copy. Like, I'm sure if you know me, you know that I'm not the biggest Seth MacFarlane fan, and that's one thing I'm not a fan of his shows is that you turn on American Dad or Family Guy
like
or
show.
The Cleveland Show, and it's like, yeah, it's, you don't know what show you're watching because they look,
you really don't.
They're carbon copies.
Unless you know the characters already. Like, I mean, if you just turn on the channel randomly, you're like, I think that's American Dad, maybe. Like,
I remember, yeah, I don't remember when this was, but I remember a couple times actually where I'd be flipping through channels and it'd be American Dad and someone says, oh, look, it's Family Guy.
Wow.
Like, and so I do like that this is unmistakably not Futurama or The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're, especially, you know, with this being a Matt Groening show and stylistically it looking similar, we're kind of unfairly comparing it to those two shows.
Yeah.
More than I think it deserves, because it really does feel like
a standalone show. Like, it is really good because it's like a completely different idea than all those other shows. And I feel like it's really cool. Like I was saying earlier, like how he's being a bit more experimental with this series. And it's about like, I don't know. It's just different.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It feels experimental. It's like honoring his past work, I feel like, but it's also doing something. It's not like Uncle Rico-ing his past work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I definitely say check it out. It's worth watching the first few episodes, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're not hooked, by the time they really start developing the show and like solidifying it as a series, if I'm not hooked by then, I think I'm probably going to give it a pass. But as of now, I'm definitely open to giving it a chance.
Yeah, definitely. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to this episode. I really enjoyed bringing it to you.
Oh, wait, Ricky.
What?
We're only about 60 minutes in.
Oh, crap. I can't think of anything else to say, man. I mean,
I can't either. Oh, God.
Oh. Hey, well, isn't that new movie coming out, like Happy Time Murders or something like that?
It is.
Yeah.
And you know what? I did say all that and more.
Hey, that's true.
Or maybe you said that.
I mean, remember. There's no like contract or anything saying that we have to talk about Disenchantment the whole entire episode. So, hey, this episode is now about Happy Time Murders. So
we're now called The Puppeteers.
Yeah.
It's a new podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the movie hasn't come out yet as of today. But I guess just previewing it. I guess, do you have any initial thoughts so far?
I think we might have touched on this in an earlier episode, but yeah, I do, I think.
Yeah, we did, actually. I forget what episode that was, but I believe we...
Well, you told me that, and I didn't even know this, but one of the guys, or it is, like, the main guy behind it is Brian Henson.
Right? Yeah, I cannot believe that. I remember I was Googling it the other day, just trying to see, like, because I kept seeing the characters, and I'm like, man, this kind of like looks like Henson quality. And I was like, but there's no way Jim Henson Company would ever sign off on doing something like this, because like it's pretty much mocking their... there's two different ways to look at this, I feel like. I'm sorry. I was going to say, there's two different ways of looking at this. Like, you can either see it as a funny way if they're making fun of themselves and like showing like there's a darker side to the shows, or they're totally selling out and trying to be like a Sausage Party ripoff.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's sort of like if Disney made Sausage Party.
Oh, man.
But here's the thing. Sausage Party, I feel like, and I heard a thing with Seth Rogen where he wasn't, he said in an interview, he's not straight up mocking animated movies.
Yeah.
It was more like an homage to them with his sense of humor.
I can see that.
So I'm wondering if maybe this is sort of, and I brought up Avenue Q before, but it might be something like that where they're trying to make it look like this really raunchy, tasteless thing, but who knows, like maybe it does have heart to it.
Yeah, I can see like maybe just the marketing, because a lot of movies do this, like maybe just the marketing itself makes it seem like it's a lot more, as you said, slutty, I guess. I know you're going to use that word, but that's the first word I can think of. A lot more slutty and just kind of gross.
Yeah, gratuitous.
Like, that's gratuitous, thank you. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. like, there's that one puppet that's like kind of like brown with like the funny looking lips and stuff and little eyes.
Right.
Yeah, that one. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he's always in all the trailers and stuff. Like, I feel like his character is going to be kind of like one of the main ones in there and all. But, okay, so the one part about the movie I'm not really looking forward to, and I guess you can probably already guess who I'm thinking of when I say this.
Oh, yeah.
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't hate her or anything like that. I think more than anything, it's just her shtick. I'm not a huge fan of. What's that movie? Spy? I think that's what it was called.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
That was kind of when the shtick was wearing off for me, and I'm not.
Was she ever funny? I'm kidding.
I think some of her SNL stuff was funny, but
I've never seen her on SNL.
I don't. And again, I'm making just an educated guess off of what we've seen with the trailers, but more than anything, she just kind of seems like she's reprising a similar type of role in this compared to like, by. Yeah. And, right. But again, I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. I'm just, that's one of the only things.
Well, again, like I just said, you never know. I mean, it's just a trailer and like anything could change in the actual movie. I mean, like it'd be kind of genius if like the movie was a lot different than the trailer. I mean, hopefully it is. I mean, I feel like now knowing that this is a Henson, driven movie, even though it's not Jim, it's Brian, that this movie will have some kind of quality to it and they won't like totally sell out because like they do still have like a brand, I guess, if you want to say that, you know what I mean? Right. Like, I mean,
he'll stay true to what his dad.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? It's really cool. I was watching his interview with him about a couple months ago saying how like he actually does his really cool improv puppet show and it's adult.
Oh, really?
Themed. Yeah. He goes around the country with one of his buddies and like he just does puppet shows and they're totally improv and they're like adult themed and all. And like, apparently they're like really funny and all. And I feel like this, I believe you told me like he's been working on this idea for like a decade now.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I wonder if this, like what I'm referring to just now, has something to do with this. Like they're kind of like intertwined or whatever. I mean, do you know anything more about it? Like,
I haven't heard a ton. One thing I was going to say, that is sort of related to what his son is doing is Jim Henson actually started the Muppet Show as sort of an alternative adult version of Sesame Street.
Oh yeah.
Not a version of Sesame Street, but
well, it was before Sesame Street, actually. You know, like he did the Muppets like back in the '50s. Well,
yeah, but the Muppet Show was after
right.
Sesame Street,
right?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard that it was essentially he wanted to create something that appealed more for adults, and so I don't think.
Well, it was on ABC, I believe. Well, I mean, originally it was supposed to be pitched to ABC and a few other American networks, and ended up getting produced in England. Actually, yeah, I know it's pretty crazy, but yeah.
I did think
as well that it was originally supposed to be a more adult-oriented show. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know if this far. I don't know if it's going to be this adult because, like, I mean, 70s adult humor versus nowadays adult humor are two totally different things.
I guess my point is that it's not as shocking to me as it might be to some other people because mm-hmm. Jim Henson's work has never been exclusively just for kids.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes back to our first episode, but... Yeah, like stuff like Dark Crystal, some really weird stuff, and I don't think it's inappropriate for kids, but that's why I think that I'd like to believe at least that this is going to be Happy Time Murders is going to be more than just gratuity. It's going to be maybe
have a little bit of heart to it,
it's not for kids, but at the same time, it's not just making fun of.
Well, let's talk about the plot itself. I mean, like, what I understand so far from the trailers is that, like, basically a lot of famous puppet characters from this series called Happy Time something have been murdered. I'm not just saying it because it's the title, but, like, basically, like, they said they noticed, like, a lot of the cast members have been killed off recently, so they have like these two detectives, that one main puppet guy and Melissa McCarthy's character, coming to investigate, and then they have to go to this like really raunchy side of town, where all these puppets live. So what I'm assuming is like, yeah, something to do with that and interacting with these characters and all, but like there's still a story to it, and like, so I feel like, you know, it may be end up being really good, like.
Well, I know I'm not the first person to make this comparison, but think about Roger Rabbit. Mm-hmm. I mean, some very similar story in that.
Yeah.
You know, having humans interact with non-human sort of cartoon characters.
Yeah, puppets are cartoons in a way.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they are animated.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's like a world where these are living, breathing characters that someone's murdering them. And
I can't believe I just laughed at that.
Yeah, wow. Murdering puppets. Yeah. No.
Felt everywhere.
Yeah. No, but I think that with Roger Rabbit, that's not something that I would show to a really little kid. Mm-hmm. There are some pretty adult themes in that.
Know, I'm kind of thinking that, like, I didn't see Roger Rabbit until I was, like, at least in high school. Like, I didn't grow up watching it or anything. I mean, I feel like being, like, an animator, I probably would have loved seeing it earlier. But, like, yeah, I didn't really watch it as a kid. I always saw it around. Like, I knew of it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? I mean, you know, like...
Yeah, well, when Disney uses that character nowadays, it's you don't really get the sense that it came from, like, Roger came from a movie that is not not as traditionally Disney. It's not as clean.
Well, you know, it's both like Disney and Warner Brothers. Like, is it?
I think it's actually Touchstone, but I mean, it was.
Well, yeah, but Warner Brothers had like some saying as well because you know they had like
right
Looney Tunes characters in there as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah.
We got topic.
Yeah, sorry about that. I think if it's anything like that, though, it'll at the very least be an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is. That was our episode.
Yep, and without sounding too much like corporate sponsors here, yeah, both of these look really promising. Both Happy Time Murders and Disenchantment.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was critical of both of them, but I think a lot of that really just comes from initial sort of
viewing.
Initial previews. Opinions.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think once we get into the meat and potatoes of these stories, I'm very hopeful. So
yeah, same. So yeah, hopefully it goes well, and hopefully you guys subscribe and listen more. We have some more episodes coming up pretty soon, so I hope you guys stay tuned.
Yep, we'll see you guys next time.
Take care.